It's just so beautiful to. I do have a real sense that God has been busy with you guys in a very special way. And I think I'm going to trash my message. but I'm just sensing. We're talking about revival, and this is it. And revival, now I ask myself the question, why do we need revival? Maybe ask the question, and I know it's a very rude question to ask, but I'm going to qualify what I'm saying. Is the Holy Spirit enough? Is the Holy Spirit enough? I know what the answer is. But is He enough in you? Is He enough in you? Because that's revival. You want to talk about revival? You don't get better than that. You don't get more than that. That's it. That's where it starts. And that's where it should be. And that's where it should be right now. Holy Spirit, would you come this morning and bring a conviction over our hearts that we would find in you enough. Finding you enough. That we would find in you enough. Yesterday, I think most of you would still be reveling in the victory of our Springboks, and it's almost like, and I felt that in 1995, one of the first times that we won the World Cup. And I felt that same thing yesterday. That there's something there. There's something there. But I want to bring it right back to where we are here this morning. There's something here. There's something here. That God has been creating this moment. And I want to say you to all of you this morning. It's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. The victory is worth the fight. We have a victory. We have a victory. We don't have to manufacture it. We don't have to make it. We have a victory. And the fight is worth it. And we're in the fight. We're in the fight. Every one of us sitting here this morning, we're in the fight. We're having this time. All right, let me see if I can pick up and glean some things that I want to share with you this morning. I'm so reminded of Ezekiel 37. And if you're acquainted with the scripture, it's about God leading his prophet Ezekiel into a very dry place, into a desert place. And he shows him some bones. And Ezekiel says, and the bones were very dry. And the Lord says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I think we can sometimes be stunned by that question. Can these bones live? And I think Ezekiel was. He was stunned by the question. And he said, you know, Lord. You know, Lord. I want to say this to all of you this morning. Revival is God's initiative. Life is God's initiative. Salvation is God's initiative. We don't get this outside of God. He brought his prophet to this place. And I ask the question, well, how did they get there? What happened to that army? It was an army. What happened to them? Why did they land there? What went wrong? Is there anything wrong? Is there something that we're doing wrong? Are we doing it right? Are we getting it right? I think God has stirred. He's broken into our midst. He has broken into our midst. And I have a sense that God has been speaking to us. Jonathan Stanfield, when he came here from Isle of Man, ministered, and hopefully most of you were there, so you will understand what I'm trying to say. I really believe that was a word from God. It was a timely word. And it's that God is inviting us into this place. a place that we can have more of His Spirit, that the Spirit of God can begin to breathe on our hearts and our lives, and that we would live in that place. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says we should never let the fire go out. We should never let the fire go out. But as it is, so easily we get there. We find ourselves in a place. And the scripture that Jonathan referred to was that scripture in, firstly, the one in, sorry guys for the, don't even worry about putting up the scriptures. I'm just going to remind you of those scriptures. The scripture that he reminded us of was a scripture from the book of Acts to say that he would bring, he said, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. We ask the question, and that's probably what I'm trying to say this morning in terms of trying to put some words to what I'm thinking and feeling, is how do we get to this place where there's times of refreshing? And I can only go back to what the Word has said, that we will repent and turn back. You say, but why must I repent? What is it that I've done wrong? Is it something that I've done wrong? Or has my heart just shifted? Have I prepared the way for the Lord? Again this morning, just the Word of God coming to us saying, prepare the way. Prepare the way, He's coming. And He's going to come. He's going to touch our lives. He's going to move over our lives. So who said that we shouldn't be chastened by the Lord? Who said that we shouldn't be disciplined by God? Is it not something that He does with His sons? Is it not something that He does with us as believers? That we should be chastened by God? That we should be spoken to by God, our Father? You know what I feel this morning? I feel like this. There's something organic about what is happening, what God is doing. There's something organic. And it's like we can be prepared. And it's just, even if I go back to the game of the Springboks, they were prepared. But when it gets down to the game, when it gets down to playing on the field, it becomes organic. It becomes something that you do because you know what to do. And we need to be in that place. And I have a sense of this, that God is walking among us. He's walking among us, touching our lives, speaking to our hearts, moving us, shifting us, adjusting us. And we need to be chastised. You think, oh, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't want this. But it is something that God wants of our lives, because He is our Father and we are His sons. So don't be offended when God, this is His love toward His sons. This is His love toward His church. This is His love toward the body of Christ, that we should be chastised, that we should be rebuked, that we should be challenged. I'm going to take you right into the chapter in Revelation. Revelation 3, and it speaks of the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And this particular one is the last church, the church at Laodicea. And this is what He says to them. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You remember that time when Jonathan went down to that back door there and he went on the outside? You know what I felt? I felt it's the Lord speaking to us, saying, I'm standing at this door, I'm knocking. And I want to come into this church. I want to be in this congregation. You think God is outside of what He wants to do? He wants to be inside. He wants to be here. He wants to be a part of us. As many as I love, I rebuke. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. And it's very key to find in those scriptures, that very scripture, that I is a very prominent word. Usually when in the Greek text, if you say I love, the word would be, it would just have a different inflection. But in this particular case, he actually separates the word I. He says, I chasten. I rebuke. I have come to you to change your life, to move your life into a great space, to move it into that place of revival. I love, I rebuke. Should we be an exception to God's rebuke? Should we be the only church that God does not rebuke? I believe because He loves us, He has called us to this place of rebuke. That He has called us to this place of repentance. That He has called us to this place of being zealous for Him. Being zealous is the opposite of lukewarm. It's the opposite of lukewarm, being zealous for God. We humbly need to come before Him. Have we lost something? If you read the history of the seven churches, if you read those, the history of the seven churches, there were several things that they'd lost. They'd lost their love. They'd lost their purity. They'd lost their fire. They'd lost their reputation. Are any of those things speaking to you this morning? Have you lost your love? Your first love? That primary love where He is the only one? Where He is the center of it all? I felt this morning even to start with that very question. Is He the center of it all? For revival is where He is the center of it all. The moment we move away from the fact that He is the center of it all, we have moved away from that place that He has called us to. So, we can so easily settle. And I'm going to finish with this. I'm not going to go through the rest of my notes this morning. So I really feel that God has already been busy with us today in this meeting. We don't have to labor this and bring it out. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? Do you get what I'm saying? Do I need to explain more to you today? You say, why must I repent again? How often must I repent? You see, the thing of it is this, that sometimes we think, I repented 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It doesn't matter how long or how much time you put into that. I repented. But God is always more. And am I in that place where He has all of me? Where He has all of me? Where every part of me rejoices in Him? You know, here will be the thing. That some other day that you and I are going to stand face to face, eyeball to eyeball with Him. What is that going to look like? What is that going to look like? Do you know how big Jesus is, friends? Do you know how big He is? Do you know how much He's done for us? Do you know how much? I read that scripture in Revelation 5 where it speaks of Him. And there's a cry in heaven saying, is there anyone worthy to open the book? And it was a scroll that it was in the Father's hands. Is there anyone worthy to open the book? And you know what it says in the Word? That there was no one in heaven. That there was no one on earth. And that there was no one under the earth to open that book. There was no one found to open that book. And John says he wept when he heard that there was no one. And think of it, all the famous people that you know, all the big ones that you know, all the big leaders, all the big people that have made impact on our world. All of them, that not one of them. How many people are on this earth? How many people? 8 billion? 9 billion? How many is 9 billion? Not one. Not one is worthy. What about the people that have gone before? The people that are under the earth? All the demons, devils and demons and whoever else is under the earth. I don't know how many people live on or how many things live under the earth. But even among them, there is not one. Not one in heaven. But think of all the great ones in heaven. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Paul, John, James. Not one. Not one can stand in this place. Do you know how big He is? And then the angel says to John, don't weep. Don't weep. There is one. And He's the center of it all. He's the center of it all. And He needs to become the center of it all. He needs to be that place, in that place, friend, where He's all to you and nothing else. That He's the only one. I don't know how we get there very easily. And that's why we need to repent time and time again. time and time again where we come before the Lord and just say, God, speak to my heart. And how easily we shift and how easily we move. And it is about our hearts. And I've heard this message. And you, if you've listened through the our prayer time and listened through the worship time and listened with your heart, if you've heard God, then you've heard Him say that He loves us. He loves us and He calls us to this place of revival. You say, well, what does that look like to me? I don't know what it looks like to you. Find out. How much of the Spirit of God is actually controlling your life? How much of God's Spirit is upon your life today? Let me ask the question again. Is God's Spirit enough? Is He big enough? Maybe just to put it in that place and say, is He big enough in me? Is He big enough in me? Is there a breath in me? Or am I one of those dry bones in a desert place waiting for revival? Waiting for revival. Revival is among us, friends. Revival is among us. We don't get more revival without the Holy Spirit. We don't become more than we should, than God has called us to be, except by the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, this morning, it would be easy for us to be offended by the often call to repentance. David's prayer was, renew a right spirit in me. Renew a right spirit in me. Search my heart, O God. And maybe it is time this morning that we search our hearts. So I'm going to invite you on that appeal this morning. Have you heard what I said? Is there enough? Have I said enough? You can say no. If you want me to preach more, I'll preach more. I'll give you more. There's quite a lot of thoughts that I had that I wanted to share with you. Have I spoken enough? Have you got the message? Will you leave this place with the message? I need more of your Spirit, Lord. I need more of your Spirit, Lord. How big is your question? You remember, those of you that were at the conference, how many of you were not at the conference? Just quickly raise your hand. Okay, there are a number of you that weren't at the conference. One of the words right at the end, toward the end of the conference, a prophetic word, Nadine came forward and she brought this prophetic word and she spoke about Napoleon. And she spoke about Napoleon having gone to war with his army. And they fought a battle over this island and they won the battle and they got this island. And in the time of their celebration when they were sitting back and just enjoying the moment of their victory with him and all his generals, one of the soldiers came up to Napoleon and said, can I have the island? And the generals laughed at him, saying, what? You fought so long for the island, and he comes and he just asks for the island. And Napoleon said, give me a piece of paper. He took a piece of paper and he wrote on the deed, and he said, I'm giving you the island. And the general said, how could you do that? How could you do that? And he said, he honored me by the magnitude of his request. I'll repeat that. He honored me by the magnitude of his request. Our Heavenly Father wants to be honored this morning by the magnitude of your request. What are you asking God for? What are you asking God for? Would you ask Him to fill you with the Spirit? There's that whole portion of Scripture in Luke, I think it's Luke 11, where it speaks of the Father. And it says, you as fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. If they ask you for bread, will you give them a stone and so on? And then he comes up with this statement, how much more will I, your Father, give you the Holy Spirit because you've asked me. So the question is, how much more? How much more are we going to ask him for? Will we honor our Father this morning by asking him for more of his Holy Spirit? Then maybe that needs to be the beginning of our repentance. I have not asked you for enough. I've asked you for just enough. Just enough to make my Sunday look good. Just enough to make my Wednesday look good. Just enough to make my prayer life look good. Or will we magnify him this morning? Will we honor him with the magnitude of our request? God, I want it all. I know there's a song out in the world, and I'm sorry if I'm using this song that it sounds like I'm using this song. But I want it all. I want it all, God. Can you give me Holy Spirit this morning? All of the Holy Spirit. Call, he said to his prophet, call on the wind. Call on the wind from the north and the south and the east and the west. Call on the wind that he may breathe upon you. And the words came out this morning, prophetic words, breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. Would you stand with me? Breathe upon us. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit. Would you come upon us, my God? Would you bring us to that place, my Father, that you would breathe upon us. Breathe upon us. Our hearts cry out, God, breathe upon us. Breathe upon us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and breathe upon us. More of you, my God. More of you, my God. More of you, my God. Get serious with God, my friends, this morning. This doesn't have to be Henry's prayer. This doesn't have to be the prayer of the elders. This is my prayer. This is my prayer. This is me before God. Would you reach out to God where you are? I'm not going to make an appeal for you to come to the front. I'm saying to you where you are, reach out to God and call upon him that he may fill you with his Spirit, that he may fill you with his Spirit, that he may anoint you with power, that he may give you gifts, that he may bless you in this time, that he will cause revival to come upon your soul, that he will baptize you with his Holy Spirit, with his fire, with all that he is, that we will not stand in shadows of what it should be, but that we will be filled, that we will be filled, that our lives would be filled, that our marriages will be filled, that our church will be filled, that our time with God will be filled, that our witness will be filled with the Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples before he left, go and wait. Go and wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And they went and they waited. And he came. Would you wait? Would you wait? If you haven't felt a shift in your heart this morning, if you haven't felt a move in your heart this morning, would you take the time in the weeks to come, in the days to come, to wait? To find prayer times with others, to stand beside your friends and say, pray with me. I want more of God. I want more of his Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of it, my friend. It will not damage your life. It will not damage your life. You may feel it will be too much. I'll become too much of a fanatic. Well, become a fanatic, please. If that's what you think it's going to become, become one. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. Ask him. For all. For everything. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus.